Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. How many of you watch YouTube sometimes? Most everybody, all these kids live on it. But I periodically will go there. Somebody will tell me about something or whatever. But if you go on YouTube and do a search of sinkholes, get on there, and there, of course, endless amounts of things you could watch about. But sinkholes around the world, various sinkholes, and it's pretty interesting watching, I tell you. It's a sinkhole is a situation where the ground, as you, not trying to insult you, but it's a situation where the ground gives way and collapses underneath the surface, okay? It literally, the ground falls out from under whatever unfortunate objects seem to be resting on that particular surface, whether it be cars, buildings, trees, sidewalks, whatever. It just goes away. It goes tumbling down into an ever-deepening pit. And these cave-ins, these sudden collapses, if you will, or caverns or pits, whatever you want to refer it to, come up in some of the most unsuspecting places. I've seen them. We had one back home at Clarendon. It was outside of town, 15, 20 miles. It was big news because it was so large. There was in the middle of a cotton field, and it just there were tractor tracks you could see going up to it, and then tractor tracks that went out the other side. So a tractor had been over it just recently, and it was deep and it was wide. It just in the most unsuspecting. It happens in cities. It happens in neighborhoods and all sorts of things. And the experts say that sinkholes occur when underground streams or moisture begins to drain or dissipate during drought situations, generally, okay? And so what happens is the moisture begins to go away and things begin to contract, if you will, causing the surface of the ground to lose its support. In other words, whatever's holding it up is no longer there, and it's eventually going to collapse. And so the underground world that cannot be seen loses its ability to understand, to sustain, if you will, the outer world that can be seen. You see, the pressure of what's above on the outside gives way to what's beneath that you cannot see, okay? And the thing about this is, until the time of the collapse, nobody seems to know anything about it. You see, everything seems to be all right on the surface. Nobody knows there's a problem. It's unrecognizable until it's too late. Now, you didn't come tonight to get a lecture on sinkholes, and I understand that, but what I do hope to accomplish is to present to you or make you and I realize that technically we have two worlds that we live in as individuals. It's made up of the inner world and the outer world, the unseen, if you will, and the seen. And most people, including myself, oftentimes go along without paying attention to the inner world. So everything's about the outer world. We get busy. People spend time, majority of their time and energy, attending to things that are visible, the things that are right in front of them, things that are on the surface of life, work and play and family and finances and the whole nine yards. And there's nothing wrong with giving attention to those things, except when our lives become so focused on that outward world that we become oblivious to the inner world, the private world, and so the inner world begins to suffer. And there's the problem. When the inner world, the place where our emotions are, the place where we deal with God, our private life, when that place, that's the place where our true thoughts take place. That's the place where our intentions and motives are. When that is neglected, then it's going to begin to get in a state of disorder or weakness. And when that weakness, if it's not shored up or stabilized, if it's not dealt with, then we have potential for a cave-in. We have potential for a crash, if you will, a collapse that threatens to wreck everything. In other words, our inner strength is not going to be able to maintain sustain, if you will, the pressures and the weight of the world that's above here. You see what I'm saying? say, let's say we begin to experience difficulties in life, maybe a series of difficulties, or maybe just one big crisis, or maybe it's a loss of a job, or a loss of a family member, maybe it's a lost relationship, maybe it's a financial collapse or something along those lines that is putting the weight on us. And if our inner world has not been sustained, if that part on the inside has not been shored up and stabilized all along the way, then we're going to start seeing some deterioration and some crumble. And if it's not dealt with quickly, then we're going to see a collapse, you see. And so it's real easy for you and I to overlook the inner world until it's too late, till we start seeing things begin to shift. We hear, we feel a little bit of a crumble, if you will, and then the first thing you know, there's a crash. Let's go ahead and read our text here. Beginning in, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's read one verse, verse 16. Paul says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day." You see, Paul is speaking of the two worlds that I've just talked to you about, the outer world and the inner world. Under Paul's circumstances, most of us know what his life was like. We've studied the Word of God. It's hard to imagine a person having enough inner strength to sustain or maintain what Paul went through in everyday life. We know that through his ministry, he was stoned, he was whipped with 39 lashes more than once. He was shipwrecked. He was left for dead. He was imprisoned two times, we know for sure, and all of this, but yet he withstood the pressures. His inner world was stabilized and strong enough that it withstood the pressures, those outer world pressures that he faced. Paul's outer world would look like it could be the sort of thing that could make anybody collapse, but yet he didn't collapse. Why? Because he kept his inner world strong. He kept it all the time. Paul was in the Word of God, of course. Paul was a thankful man. Paul took time to praise God. He took time to worship. He took time to build his inner strength daily. And that's what we've got to do, folks. Much of the time that what you and I do, it's not with any ill intent, but we just get so busy that we don't acknowledge our inner world. Our life consists strictly of living on the outer dimension. And the reason for that, this is really easy to happen, folks. Because the outer world is measurable. It's visible. It's touchable. And it consists of things like work and play and possessions and money and our social interaction and all of these things that can be seen and heard and felt, you see. And so that gets our attention, and it's easy to evaluate our outer world. We can evaluate it in terms of successes and failures. And so it's constantly the outer world is screaming at us. It makes demands upon us. It requires our time, our money, our energy, our loyalties. You see, our outer world is continually screaming for attention, and the result of that is this: it gets our attention. The outer world receives our attention. But what to what detriment? What's neglected? The inner world. Because the inner world's not screaming at us loudly. And we're not hearing, it's not crying out to us like the outer world is. Our senses are exposed to the outer world. And so the inner world sits silent, but yet empty and neglected. And that's what we've got to be careful of. And it's usually done out of ignorance or potentially even necessity that we neglect it. It's just we're so busy. There's so many things draining us. And so what's happening is that underneath, things are starting to dry out, so to speak, spiritually. And I believe this is the greatest battle that you and I face in our modern times and the demands that are made upon the human life today, especially in the Western culture and modern culture that we live in. It's just constantly bombarded with so much that demands our attention, demands our energy, and to the neglect of the things that matter the most, which is the inner man, the spiritual man. It's even in church. even in ministries, it can become so outward oriented at the expense of the inward or the private. More programs, more meetings, more classes, more relationships, more busyness, more ministries. Until finally, if the surface becomes so weighted down and the inner world becomes so empty, then there's going to be a collapse. And then we've lost the battle, okay? So here's the thing is we're not going to realize that we're losing the battle until it's too late unless we take note of our inner world right now and begin to evaluate and say, hey, how strong am I? If I wake up tomorrow on that Monday morning and crisis hits, if I go through the week and have a series of crises, is that pressure going to be too much this week, or am I going to be able to uphold? Am I going to be able to maintain? We maintain our schedules. We reach our goals. Even our incomes and our positions usually are at least maintained and in most cases advanced from year to year. We make all of this progress. We manage our time. We know how to dress and present ourselves. We keep house. We raise families. We do all of these things. We manage to manage to keep up with all of these things, and even pleasure, occasional vacations, and whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. And everything seems to be complete, except our private world. The inner man can be so. All of these things can be taking place, and the inner man can be so empty and dry that we're on the verge of a collapse. We're a sinkhole waiting to happen. And so we've all seen this. We've seen it. Maybe we've experienced it. But we see somebody's life, somebody that seems to have it all together. You know, they dot their I's and cross their T's. They've got it all in order. And then all of a sudden their world just goes to pieces. And we're like, I don't know. He just seemed like he had it all together, and then suddenly he fell apart. He had a nervous breakdown, or that's what the old timers used to say, and that's pretty much what it amounts to. He or she did this or that, and it just seemed to come on suddenly. But the truth is, it didn't come on suddenly. It might have seemed to have come on suddenly, but it was an underneath inner thing that was going on for a long time leading up to whatever that final weight on the surface was that made it collapse. So, what are we going to do to stabilize our inner world? To make the situation and everything that is inside of us be at a strength and a level that it's going to sustain even the sudden events in life that we're unexpecting. In reality is the more important world for us to tend to is the inner world outside of the outer world. If we tend to the inner world appropriately, and it doesn't demand as much time, it doesn't demand as much a focus, the inner world. We're not going to, obviously, we put an 8-hour day at work, that's the outer world. We're not going to be able to put that kind of time in on our inner world, but just adequate time. Not losing the battle for our inner world is simply making sure that we stay in God's Word, that we stay in prayer, that we stay in church and are nourished and fed and spiritually through fellowship and service and preaching and this sort of thing. But also just continually through the day, touching base with God. The inside of you and I is a place where our true spiritual depth takes place. We can come to church, folks, and sing the songs and preach the loudest and amen the loudest or teach the loudest in class or the best. We can do all of that, but that's not our measure of spiritual depth. Those things are good, okay? But the true measure of spiritual depth is going to take place on the inside of you and I. And if our inside is virtually undeveloped, if it's not managed well like our outer world is managed, then there's going to come a time and a place that we collapse. I want to leave you with this and just take a few moments here. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Unlike David, when I say I'm done, I'm done. Y'all don't tell him I said that. This verse excites me, folks, when it comes to this subject. I'm going to get there. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm getting there, folks. Bear with me. Okay. Now watch this prayer that Paul prays. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul's saying, "For this reason I'm praying for you," okay? "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." Now, folks, that's what encourages me. Paul's saying there is such a thing as an inner life. And by the way, when I pray for you, I pray for your inner life. I'm sure he prayed for their outer life as well. But Paul says, I'm praying for the unseen, the inside of you. And Paul writes this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that he's praying for those people, their inner life. Then how much more should we ourselves pray for our own inner life? Our own private life, what's going on in here. And folks, I'm telling you, when you and I spend the time that we're supposed to building the underneath, then it will not erode, it will not decay, it will not lose support and stability, but it will maintain whenever the pressure of the outer world hits, okay? I want to ask you to stand as the ladies, we'll just have the ladies, I suppose, come and we'll have a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to your heart, you come.